This is a very unusual summer for me. I'm participating in four summer lectures with area churches. And this Thursday, I'm presenting a lesson with the Brethren at the Henderson Boulevard congregation and opening their summer lecture. And the title of my lesson is The Church Jesus Built. I want to share this with you. There are a couple of aspects I'll be addressing in the lesson. And I think they're fundamental truths that the church is the most important organization upon the face of the earth with the most important mission. And it is the most unique organization on the face of the earth. And there are four basic aspects of the church that I want to cover in addressing these fundamental truths. The first one is that the church is highly valued. How do you value something? Oftentimes it's valued by the price that we pay for something. You know, today when you go to shop for a car, you can do that online. And you can put in your minimum price and your maximum price. Maybe a young man goes shopping and he's looking for a car and he says, the salesman says, well, here's a car that costs $500. The young man says, no, I want a better car than a $500 car. He says, well, here's a car that costs $1,000. And no, I want a better car than that. Well, here's a car that costs $2,000. And no, I want one better than that. He says, well, how good a car do you want? The young man says, I want a car that costs at least $10,000. That's the value he's put on a car. In Acts chapter 20 and in verse 28, as has already been read, at the end of this verse, we notice that the price that was paid for the church was the blood of Jesus Christ, that he purchased the church with his very own blood. Now, we're not talking about a $500 car. We're not talking about a $2,000 car or a $10,000 or a $60,000 car. We're talking about something that is so valuable, the price being paid is the blood of Jesus Christ. Turn your Bibles with me also to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, another passage. All of these passages you're so familiar with. But another passage you're familiar with, and this is the price paid to redeem us from sin, that we were lost, to redeem us, to buy us, to purchase us as God's people. In verse 18, Peter says, knowing that you are not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. Think about the value placed upon the church. Think about the value ascribed by God to his church. The price was the blood of Jesus Christ. The price was Jesus Christ dying upon the cross. You know, oftentimes we want something that's very valuable. I had a friend one time that had some property that was for sale. And it would not sell, and it would not sell, and it would not sell. Finally, he raised the price $25,000, and it sold like that. Now, the property was still the same. Perhaps the people that were looking at the property, all of a sudden it was more meaningful because it cost more. The value of the church is the greatest, the highest possible value of anything upon the earth. There's nothing, absolutely nothing of more value. And of course the church, the ecclesia, it's built up of members, the Christians in the church. There is nothing more valuable upon the face of the earth than a Christian. And I want us to remember for just a moment our responsibility, verse 14. We are the ones that are redeemed. We are the ones that are so valuable. We are the ones that God purchased, bought back with the blood of his very own son. Verse 14, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Think about this. Think about yourself purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. Think about Jesus who left heaven, who did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped. He let go of it for a time to come here and to pay the price to save you. Think about Jesus in the garden. And there with prayers and supplications, with loud crying, he prayed that this cup would pass. But Jesus had to die upon the cross so that you could be saved. Think about this shame that he despised. There the Hebrew writer in chapter 12 tells us that Jesus Christ hated it. He despised it. The interrogation and the slapping and the spitting and the crown of thorns and the scourging and the crucifixion. Think about how valuable you are. Who are the most highly valued people in all the world? Christians. And the most important thing that we can do is to become a Christian and to faithfully serve God. With God, life has a purpose and is fulfilling, and there is true joy and happiness, but without God, life is empty and unfulfilling. A longtime friend of mine confessed one time, after he turned away from God, returned back to the world, so very successful, making more money than perhaps all of us combined, and he confessed that life was so empty and shallow and unfulfilling. You, as a Christian, you are the most valuable. Your life has purpose. It is fulfilling. And it's not because of money, but it's because of Jesus Christ and the price that he paid for his church and for each member. The church is the most highly valued organization here upon the earth. But also, let's think about this, that the church is the most important. You know, there are many organizations that do a lot of things, but the church is the most important organization here upon the earth. Turn your Bibles with me over to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. And I want us to remember that the church was set forth for God, that the plan was in place from eternity. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confidence and confident access through faith in him. The church, its eternal purpose. God set forth that the church would exist and its perfect purpose and its mission. God set this forth from eternity and carried it out in Jesus Christ. And as members of this church, we have boldness to access him with confidence. I want you, we don't have time this morning to look in detail, but notice verse 16. Now, as members of this church, the most important organization here upon the earth, that we have this strength that comes with God, strengthened with power through his Spirit and the inner man. It is because we're members of this church instituted by God, this church paid for with the blood of Jesus Christ, this church of which you are a member, strengthened with power through God's Spirit in you, the inner man. And verse 20, because of this, because of the blood of Christ, because of being part of this church, we are able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think according to the power that works within us. You know, I've been a member of other organizations before. And you know, you do get some power. You know, you sit on a school board and you have some power. Or you're in some sort of state office or county office or the mayor. You do have some power. But let me tell you something. No person upon this earth, as members of any secular organization, has the power that you have as a Christian. This power is given to you by God as his child, one redeemed with the blood of Jesus Christ, as a member of the church paid for with the blood of Jesus Christ. And because of that, God empowers his children to do even those things which they cannot even imagine to do, with that power that works within them. The church is the most highly valued organization and the most important organization that we have upon earth. Go with me to the book of Colossians, chapter 1. the most important thing of this organization, the church, is that it is the body of those who are saved. Now look at verse 13 of chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. For he rescued us. That's God. And the word rescue here is like to snatch. You know, it's like if you're drowning and someone reaches over the side of a swimming pool and they snatch you out of the water. I was at a friend's house one time and his dog jumped in the swimming pool and started swimming around. All of a sudden his head started going down underwater. My friend said, "Grab that dog, will you?" I grabbed the dog out of the swimming pool and brought it up like a wet rat. I rescued that dog because that dog was going to drown if somebody didn't reach down there and grab it. Well, that's what God has done. God has reached down and he has grabbed us. We're dead in sin. We're lost eternally. We've been snatched out of eternal damnation. Notice what it says in verse 13. Rescued us from the domain of darkness. That's the domain of Satan. You know, there's no way we could get out of that domain. There's no way we could get out of that trap of darkness, of sin. Someone had to snatch us out of there and bring us out and rescue us. We've been rescued from the domain of darkness. And look at what God did. He transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved son. That's the church. In other words, with the dog snatched out of the pool, it's like you snatch the dog out of the pool and you take it and you put it in the house where it's safe. I have transferred the dog who was drowning, going to die, out of the pool, and I put it somewhere where it's safe. And that's what God has done. The pool is the domain of Satan, the domain of darkness, and we were stuck there. We couldn't get out. We were drowning, and God reached down, and he grabbed us, and he put us somewhere safe, and that safe place is the kingdom of Jesus Christ, the church, purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been rescued. We've been saved. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Now jump down to verse 18. Speaking of Jesus, he is also head of the body, the church. And he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you see, when we were in the domain of darkness, we did not have peace with God. And it took the blood of Jesus Christ so that we could be snatched out of that and we could be transferred into the kingdom of Jesus Christ, the church, and that thing that was necessary in making this transfer is the blood of Jesus Christ, with which we've been redeemed, with which the church was purchased. The church is the most important organization upon the earth. The saved are in the church. Everyone else who is not in the church remain in the domain of darkness. They are lost without any hope whatsoever, with a lonely, empty, unfulfilling life. What is the difference in our life? The blood of Jesus Christ and his church, which he purchased with his blood. Without the church, we would still be lost. We would not be saved. We would still be in sin. We're saved if we're faithful members of his church. We're lost if we're not members. The church is the most highly valued, purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. It is the most important. The saved are there, set forth by God from eternity, and also has the most important purpose, the most important mission. And do you not see the importance of the church? Do you not see the importance of the church in your life with you being a member, that the blessings we have from God because of the church? And there are so many other organizations upon the earth. They have worthy missions. Some save children from disease. Some feed the hungry. Some house the homeless. Some protect unborn children. Some protect and aid abused mothers and children. But The organization with the greatest mission of all, above all others, all those I mentioned are important and they're good. The organization with a mission far above any of those others is the church. Turn your Bibles with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. And we'll look at this basic principle. And then we'll look at a few others that relate to it. 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 15. But in case I'm delayed, Paul says to Timothy, I write so that you may know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. The church of the living God. This is God's organization. All other organizations, they are organizations men have established, men have set up, although many of them have wonderful missions, and I think that's great. But this is God's organization. It has His purpose to be the pillar of the truth, pillar and foundation of the truth. Jude chapter 1, verse 3, we earnestly contend for the faith as members of this church. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, we are empowered by godliness through the knowledge of God. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, and we are partakers of His divine nature as members of His church. Turn your Bibles with me to James chapter 1 and verse 22. We are doers. Doers of the Word. This Word that comes from God. As members of His church, we are doers of that Word in our lives. Verse 22. Verse 22. But prove yourselves doers of the Word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. There are many in the world today who have deluded themselves. Many who think some things are right when they're truly wrong. Many who think that certain things are wrong when they are truly right. They have deluded themselves in their thinking. The church is composed of those individuals who do not delude themselves. These are the ones who are doers of the Word, just not hearers, but doers, living the way God would have us to live, worshiping the way God would have us to worship, conducting ourselves the way God would have us to conduct ourselves. What is the organization with these people? It is the church. Verses 25 through 27. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue and yet deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. And you know as well as I do. In many organizations throughout the earth, some of them being religious and some of them not being religious, you see the most ungodly things. Not true in the Lord's church. Not true. Doers of the Word, practicing the things He would have us to do, practicing the discipline He has ordained. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Doers of the Word. But also God is seeking for a certain group of people. Turn your Bibles with me to John chapter 4. John is telling us about Jesus now as He is speaking with the Samaritan woman at the well. And here Jesus is telling us about what God wants, what God is looking for. And you know, as people concerned about God, who really want to please God, this tells us what God wants. What does God want? What is God looking for? Verse 23, Jesus says, but an hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be His worshipers. What does God want? God wants people to worship in spirit and in truth, not according to the traditions of men, not according to the pagan ideas which existed then and exist now. God wants people who are really concerned, who are really sincere, who really want to do what is right. Now, there are many organizations in the world. There are many religious organizations, but I want to tell you something. There is only one of them where God is worshiped in spirit and in truth. There are many of them where God is worshiped, where they will worship God in some idea which they have within themselves that God ought to be worshiped a particular way. But there is only one organization upon the earth filled with these people God is seeking. All others He rejects. Their worship is vain, and that organization is the church. Do you see the importance of being part of that church? Do you see the importance of that church as it exists? Do you see the importance of this congregation? You can look in this community, not thinking of other congregations, but thinking of the secular organizations and thinking of other churches which are not the Lord's body. This congregation is the most important and has the greatest purpose. And infinitely greater value to God and to us. Yes, we assemble on the first day of the week, worshiping God, encouraging, stimulating one another, equipping the saints for service as we worship. But also, Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. We are evangelistic. Yes, we are the pillar and the ground of the truth. Yes, we have a message to get out. And Revelation chapter 12, verse 11 speaks of this message of our brethren in the early centuries. And for now, us who are faithful to the Lord. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. And they overcame him, that's Satan, because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives, even when faced with death. I know I've read that verse a few times lately. But as members of the Lord's church, purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ, each individual redeemed with the blood of Jesus Christ, the most important organization with the greatest and most important mission. Our mission is to get out the truth. And that's what we do. That's what we stand for. Together as a congregation and individually. Your membership, I want you to understand this. Your membership and your work with the Lord's church is more important than any other thing you could do with any other organization. You think about your school, you think about your work, you think about organizations you may volunteer with. The church is greater, far greater than any other. Your work here as a member of this church is greater than any other organization, anything you could do with any other organization. Are you a member of the Lord's church? And are you doing your work? Think about that. Are you a member? And if you are you doing your work? Are you putting other things ahead of the work of the Lord's church? Think about that. If you truly understand that this organization is the most highly valued, the most important, with the greatest purpose, and the greatest thing you can do in life is fulfill your duties here, my question to you, are you doing that? I want to talk about one more aspect of the church before I let you go. And that is its unique way of functioning. I want to talk about three things just very quickly. I know our time will be growing to a close, so I just want to glance over many of these. First of all, in the Lord's church, there is freedom. Turn your Bibles with me to James chapter 2 and verse 12. Other organizations, other religious organizations, as they exist upon the face of the earth, they oftentimes represent bondage. Even of those who claim to give freedom, they actually put their members into bondage. James chapter 2 and verse 12. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. We live by this law of liberty. This law of liberty is the law of Christ. And Paul in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 4 talks about false brethren who are going about and they were teaching false doctrines of all sorts of kinds. And he says that they were bringing them into bondage. Let me tell you something. Anytime someone presents a false doctrine that other people are to follow, they are bringing these people into bondage. You know, if I can convince you that something is right when it's actually wrong, and I can convince you to do that, I am bringing you into bondage. Who established this? I did. For what reason am I doing this? To get you to do what I want you to do. And there are many ways in the world that this is done. There's many ways that false doctrines are taught and people are even manipulated by this, but they are brought into bondage by that. The Lord's place is the place of freedom. It's non-denominational. The congregation is accountable only to Jesus Christ, who is the chief shepherd. And we have direct access to God. You know, you don't have to have some preacher pray for you. You don't have to have some priest say that your sins are forgiven. You don't have to do what some institution is saying somewhere far off, maybe in a different country. Your relationship is with God and with Jesus Christ, and this is freedom. Freedom to have individual direct access to God. Something else that's very unique about this. It's the place where servants are greatest. Turn your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21. And this is one of these passages that I never cease to think about. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21. And Paul is talking about the church. He's talking about unity in the work of the church. And in verse 22, he begins the illustration of the family with the church. But verse 21, he says this: and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. The Lord's church is the place where we are subject to one another, where we are doing what's good for other people and just not for ourselves, Paul explains in Philippians, where we put other people first. There are many other organizations. There are many other religious organizations where the people who are in the top level of authority within that organization, they are the ones who are ruling it over those who are the membership, and the members are serving them. Some go about prancing around like kings, dressed like royalty, making pronouncements that you do this and you do that and you don't do this and you don't do this, and people are bowing and kissing rings and kissing the toes of statues. That's not freedom. That's bondage. The Lord's church is the place where those who are greatest are servants. Jesus in Matthew chapter 23, verse 11, teaches the disciples as they ask this very question, who's the greatest? It's the servant. That's very unique in the Lord's church. Romans chapter 15, verses 1 through 3 uses Jesus as an example that he served. He did not do those things which were pleasing to himself. That he served when he took our iniquities upon him. When he went to the cross, he was doing that not for himself. He was doing that to serve you. And now in return, he calls us to serve each other as we serve him. The Lord's place is a place where those who are great serve. It is a place where every person serves. The Lord's church is the place where everyone is important. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16, a passage that you know so very well. As the Lord is talking here about the unity, that there's one body, one spirit. And he says in verse 16, from whom, that's from Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. What Paul is saying is that every single person is important. And in Romans chapter 14, he explains that every single person is equally important. That there's no one in the Lord's church that can say, I'm more important. That I'm of this, I'm of that, I'm more important than other people. That can never be said in the Lord's church. Every single person is equally important, and their work. Now, I asked you just a few moments ago, if you were a member, and if you are, if you're doing your work, I asked you to think about that, to ask yourself that. And if you are, doing your work, the work that you can do in whatever capacity that is, if you're doing your work, you know that that work is as important as any other work someone may do. The Lord's church is very different from the religions of men. Those religions bring people into bondage. They esteem others to make some showing in the flesh. That's not true with the Lord's flesh, with the Lord's church. And I want to leave you with one illustration I've told you about before, but I couldn't help but think about this. And it is the Jones family that we had the great pleasure of knowing and being associated with in Thomasville, Georgia. Husband and wife barely able to read. They had been studying with various churches and visited the Lord's church, the church that Jesus built, one day. And they walked into this place and things were different. This was before our time. Many of the brethren still there. We know many of the brethren that were there that day, and they walk into this place and it's different from all of these other churches where they had been visiting, with whom they had been studying with, and they saw right away something was different. Something was unique about this church. And upon that day, the wife made this statement to the husband, "This is the right church." Now from there, they continued to study, and it wasn't long that they became Christians. They learned the truth. They were converted to Christ. They became members. They're faithful today. And the amazing thing to me is the number of people that they have affected in their life. If they live above the poverty line, it's just barely. It used to be that they would have me to come over and to read the Bible lesson because they can't read well enough to do the Bible lesson. But they wanted their Bible lesson to be done. Let me ask you something. Do you want your Bible lesson done that badly? That you would be humble enough to have some man come over and read to you what that Bible lesson says and to tell you how to spell the words to write in those blanks. Do you care about your Bible lesson that much? These people did. They cared about the church. And I can't tell you the number of Bible studies that Beth and I had with people they would bring. And some were converted and are Christians today. I can't think of anyone more lowly upon the face of the earth than two married people with a family living on a plantation that don't own hardly anything. The clothes that they have are old and worn out and not much good. Their vehicle's always got a problem with it. And yet I can't think of one person more valuable in the Lord's church. And I can't think of one person who has a work that's more important than that. You see, the Lord's church is different. It's different. Indeed, it's the most highly valued because of the price. It's the most important, ordained by God from eternity. It has the most important mission to save the lost. And it is indeed very unique. Very unique. Do you see the importance of the church? Do you see the importance more than the importance of the church? Do you see the importance of your part in the church? And do you take your part, your responsibility, do you take that serious? Or do you take other things more serious? That's the question I want to leave you with this morning. Do you see the importance that you have and your work And do you take it that serious? That's my question for you. Praise God that we have the church. Praise God. If we didn't have any other organization upon the face of the earth, that's fine. Praise God we have the church. We'll extend the gospel invitation. If you want to get your songbook out, number 287. There's a fountain free. I want to talk about one fountain in particular. I know this isn't the fountain being talked about in the song, but I want to talk about the fountain that flowed from the side of Jesus Christ for just a second. Blood and water mixed together. I want to talk about that fountain for just a second, because that's what we've been talking about in our lesson this morning. It is that fountain, that blood, that purchased this church, that purchased this congregation, that made it possible so that you could be snatched from darkness and transferred into this church and be a member of this congregation. It's because of that fount. And I want you to think, as we've already thought this morning with the Lord's Supper, I want you to turn your mind back, and I want you to think about Jesus Christ on that cross. I want you to think about the fact that he didn't want to be there, that he prayed that just any way that could be, is any way he didn't have to be there, that would come about. But God's answer was, no, you got to do it. I want you to think about Jesus Christ as he cried upon the cross, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? And I want you to think about the moment when he bowed his head and said, it is finished. Then I want you to think about the spear that pierced his side and the blood that flowed, the fountain that flowed, so that we could be here this morning. Do you take your life that serious as to who you really are and what you're really doing? I ask you to think about that. If you're not a Christian, I ask you to become one. What must you do? Believing in Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins, confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and be baptized into Jesus Christ. You will be added to the church. You'll become a member of this organization we're talking about today. That's the most important thing you could do, to join the most important organization here upon the face of the earth. Won't you do that? We ask if you would to come to the front as we stand and as we sing.